And so as we turn to God's word, it is very timely that we're turning to a passage all about hope. So Romans 15 and this series being unashamed of this amazing good news of Jesus Christ, even in whatever circumstance we face. So Romans 15, I'm going to read from page 1141, verses 1 to 13. Picking up from what Tim was speaking about last week on the weak and the strong, those weak in faith and strong in faith, and the importance of them loving each other. Paul writes this. He says in verse 15, verse 1, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed. And moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, 'Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name.' Again, it says, 'Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people.' And again, 'Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him.' And again, Isaiah says, 'The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations, and in him the Gentiles will hope.' May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So please, God, as we say these prayers in this reading, we want to come and say, please, God, help us understand them and apply them and keep praying them, that you would work. Help me, help us, I ask now. Amen. The Apostle Paul wrote not just Romans, but a number of letters. And in one of his letters to the church in Thessalonica, he talks to them about grief. And he says to Christians, he says, knowing that we too grieve, but he says that we don't grieve as those who grieve with no hope. There is a difference that hope brings into grief. And I want to talk this morning about hope. I want to talk this morning about how hope changes circumstances and our attitudes. It even changes whole communities. I mean, in the news recently, we've had a couple of big stories where hope has been quite a theme. I guess that many of you will have heard the wonderful news that all the kids who were in the cave in Thailand with their coach, they've been stuck there for many days, were safely rescued. And I heard the news and I was full of joy. Imagine for them as they came out into the light, and for their parents who were like, "Are we ever going to see our kids again?" The joy of when they finally are there in the open. But you know, one of the things that brought the whole story across the world is that the whole story kind of came to light at a time where we didn't know the outcome. And all these different plans were being made for rescue, and we were kind of hoping in an unsure way, longing that all of them would get out. We knew some of the best rescuers were going to be at it, but we didn't know whether they were definitely going to be able to bring that rescue. And so there was a kind of uncertainty. There was a kind of a longing, but there wasn't really that full joy and celebration because there was uncertainty. And we know in our world, don't we, what it is to live with uncertainty. I mean, that was quite a life and death situation of hope. But there's been another big story in the news recently, in case you've missed it. And that was the kind of amazing longing in our nation that we would repeat 1966. And we didn't. But we were kind of hoping and longing. Even with our past record, something of hope stirred in the nation. And interestingly, papers and pundits were using this phrase that the football was bringing the nation together. And it kind of was. There was something of that sense of a common purpose and longing and an aspiration that brought people, I mean, my daughters who have not really been into football much of their lives were watching the matches. I mean, I don't know if you're a football supporter or not, but I imagine you were kind of, wondering and at least following the story. But you know, even if it did bring the nation together for a few days or weeks, in some way, not in a full way, but in some way, it's not going to last. The football's over. We didn't get through. And actually, it was only ever us as England cheering for England, longing for England's team. And though football is a remarkable thing and sport can bring people together, actually in these kind of tournaments like the World Cup, it never fully unites nations. I mean, is there anything in which there can be something that we can hope in together that can bring a unity across all nations, that can actually unite people no matter what they're going through in the uncertainty of life with such a unity that it kind of brings even now a joy and a peace? That is what this passage is about. And what this passage is full of is this wonderful person that we've been worshiping, Jesus Christ. And so I want us to see firstly this morning that we are united in our hope in Christ. The passage starts in picking up from what he was looking at before and saying, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself." I don't know if you noticed, but usually when we're not all kind of looking forward and hoping that England will do well at the football, we all kind of basically live in this culture in our nation, hoping that we will do well and that life will be good for us. My gran used to say, "A little bit of what you fancy does you good." Sounds great, doesn't it? I don't think Paul would agree with her. And actually, our culture would agree with my gran in spades. In fact, it's not a little bit of what you fancy does you good. Anything you fancy does you good. Is it any wonder we're usually so disunited? But Paul says completely the opposite. Paul says, don't please yourself. Look to please your neighbor for their good, to build them up. This is not a kind of men-pleasing, which the Bible often kind of says, no, don't look for the approval of men in a way that might make you not do what God wants so you just please men. That's, again, self-serving. No, this is neighbor-pleasing. This is a different thing. This is when we say, God, because of you, I want to please my neighbor for their good. Not for my good, for their good. And who is our inspiration for that kind of life? Well, Jesus Christ, the one who himself didn't look to please himself, but as it says here, quoting Psalm 69, you can look down in your footnotes and see where some of these Old Testament quotes come from. It says, "For even Christ did not please himself," verse 3, "but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me." Jesus bore the insults that people kind of threw at God. He bore them for the sake of others, for our sake. And my sake. This is one of those psalms, like so much of the Old Testament, that points to the work of Christ, as we've been singing, who died on our behalf, on my behalf. He suffered for my good, for your good, to take my sin and your sin, to die my death so that I could have life, to die your death so that you could have life. And that is why we've been able to grieve today, but not grieve as those who have no hope, but to be able to worship the one who has conquered death. What a powerful moment that was in our service. But you know, loving like that, living like that, keeping on like that is not easy. Maybe you find that. Maybe you sometimes find life can seem kind of overwhelming and challenging. And that's why Paul goes on and he says this, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the encouragement taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." This book, these scriptures, point us to Christ. They encourage our heart. They point us to a hope that is there even in the toughest of circumstances. This book is so real about the problems, but it doesn't just, it kind of paint the problems. Honestly, this book points us to the fact that there is a solution to the problems, and it points us to the one who came and died and rose again and is one day coming back and is going to make everything new, and there will be no more death, no more pain. And I don't know what uncertainty you are facing, but this book tells me that I know how it ends, and it ends well. Amen. It ends well. And so this book encourages me. Are you spending time in this book? Because if you need hope, and we need hope, then we need Christ. And if you need Christ, you need to find him as he is revealed in the pages of Scripture. And God's Spirit and God's Word work together to help us now meet the risen Jesus. To find endurance and strength and courage. I've found so many times the words and prayers of others so helpful for me in my journey. The Psalms are one of the bits of the Bible that I just keep reading on kind of loop as part of my regular time reading the scriptures each day and trying to dig into him. And I find too some of our songs and hymns that we've sung and people have written and poems that people have written after Jesus' death and resurrection also help me, because they point me back as well to that truth. And so I encourage you, use the prayers and the poems and the songs of others. Here's one writer, a lady, Amy Carmichael, and I've found some of what she's written so helpful over the years. She was a missionary in India, seeing so much pain and brokenness around her as she tried to minister to those in need, particularly young children who were being kidnapped and sold into slavery and treated abominably. And this is a poem that she wrote. "Long is the way, and very steep the slope. Strengthen me again, O God of hope. Far, very far the summit doth appear, but thou art near, my God, but thou art near. And thou will give me with my daily food powers of endurance, courage, fortitude. Thy way is perfect. Only let that way be clear before my feet from day to day. Thou art my portion, saith my soul to thee." Oh, what a portion is my God to me. I've read that poem so many times over the years. I've read this book so many times over the years. Because I need that God of hope. I need Jesus. I need the one who is my portion. I need him daily. I don't know about you, but I need him daily. Sometimes hourly. And I know it's when I go to him rather than other stuff that actually I find hope and joy and peace. Not a kind of hope like, we hope England get out the war. You know, hope England make it to the final. That is such a shaky hope. And it's not even a hope like I hope those kids get rescued by those rescuers. And praise God they did. Because those rescuers were not all powerful and all perfect, but our Savior is all powerful. Jesus Christ is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives. He has won the victory. Our future hope is a certain hope. And that changes everything. So I want to ask, are you getting time in God's word over the summer, over these times? Maybe you're tired. Maybe you feel like you need endurance and encouragement. Come to Christ. Come to his word. Come and be filled with the Spirit. And come then, as we come to Christ, look at this prayer that spills out in verse 5 and 6. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. An earlier version puts it like this, so that you might have a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Jesus Christ. Amen? Because it's in Christ that we are united in this hope. And what spills out as we hope in him, what spills out and we remember what he has done, is worship. It is this wonderful thing that we glorify him. We are united not just in our hope in Christ, but we are united in our praise of Christ. That even on a week like this, we can sing. We can sing. I don't know if you've been to different funerals, but the funerals where Christ is present and exalted and people have believed and trusted him are so different. There is singing and worship and praise. I don't know if you've ever been to a secular funeral, but it's so different. And today I found it so helpful to praise. So helpful to remember that we are united in praise, united with different churches, united. And this is the amazing thing, you know. Remember the football? It can't unite the nations. Well, look at this passage. Look at how it goes on. You know, there's this unity that comes across the strong and the weak. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. A little reminder of last week. Because we are accepted by Christ, we should accept one another. Look back at 14:1, accept one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. Do listen back to that really helpful talk last week. And then he goes on and says, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews. What do we have to praise God for? Well, we can praise him because he's accepted us. You're feeling like you maybe don't fit in? Well, you do. You've been accepted in the family of God. You know, we can praise him. Maybe you feel like you need help. Well, Jesus is our servant. Amazing. He's our helper. Do you need help? He's your helper. Let's praise him that he's our helper. He goes on and he talks about how this amazing truth that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs, those are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the people that God gave those promises to, not just for Abraham to be blessed, but all nations to be blessed through him. And so he goes on and says, this is not just for the weak and the strong in faith to be united. This is for Jew and Gentile. And moreover, it says that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, because God is true and faithful to his promises. Do you feel like some of those people let you down? Well, praise God. God never lets us down. His promises are utterly dependable. And we come and worship him for his faithfulness. We come with different nationalities. I love this church so much. We're just so blessed to have different nationalities come here and different generations and people of different backgrounds, and we unite in praise, and it's a picture of heaven. It's a picture of what's going on today all around the world. Because it says, as he goes on, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praise of your name. Paul is quoting from the Old Testament to remind the Jews in Rome that the Gentiles are included into this united praise. That's the Gentiles, by the way, is the non-Jews, all the different other nations. Rejoice, you Gentiles, with this people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. There's a sense of this being joyful praise. But I mean, some of the nations are a mess. And some of our lives and situations are a mess. So how can we have this joyful praise? Well, it comes back in verse 12 when he says this. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse, that's a phrase that refers to the Messiah, to the deliverer, to the descendant of David. Jesse was David's dad. And this Messiah was going to come through King David, through that line. The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise. That word arise, it's a resurrection word. It's a word that says things that look buried and dead. Power can break out. Power that defeats death. You remember we sang, let what's dead come to life. Jesus brings dead things back to life. That's what our hope is. That's the resurrection hope, that Jesus brings dead things back to life, dead people. That's why we don't grieve as those who have no hope, because through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he brings eternal life, not in just a kind of very untangible, kind of cloudy type way, in a really tangible, more alive than you've ever been kind of way. That is our hope. So whatever happens, brothers and sisters, whatever those in Rome were going to face, and boy, oh boy, in just a few years after receiving this letter, they were going to face it. Rome was going to burn, and Nero was going to blame the Christians, and he was going to persecute them, kill them. Families separated from one another, kids orphaned. It's going to happen. And around the world, our brothers and sisters face horrendous things, and even in our congregation, as we've been remembering today, we carry deep, real hurts and pains. But verse 13 is true. Because of Jesus, that the God of hope, who is a God of hope, because he's all powerful and great and good, nothing can get in his way from his end being the end. So it's a sure and certain hope that God brings. May the God of hope fill us. And this you is a plural you. We so easily singularize these things. So we, you know, I love this verse. But I've so often just prayed it for myself or for someone else or for, you know. But there's something about this unity and praise that this verse kind of captures. May the God of hope fill us then with all joy and peace. Not a little bit of joy and maybe some joy, but not the peace. And this is not a joy that's just about a cheery grin. Kind of happiness that means you can't grieve. No, it's a joy that is there when you're weeping. It's a peace that isn't just like, oh, I've got my feet up and the sun is shining. It's a peace, like the psalmist said, Mike started with this. When the mountains are falling into the sea and the whole world is shaking, yet we can be still and know that he is God. That's that kind of peace. May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace. How? How does he fill us? Well, it's as we turn and trust. Stop looking at other places to find your joy and peace. They are so fleeting, never deliver. Turn, repent, and trust in Jesus Christ, the God of hope. And he will fill us with joy and peace so that we will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I would love to pray these two prayers. I would love to ask the band to come up and the prayers in verse 5 and 6 and the prayer in verse 13. I would love to pray over us and for us to pray that God would pour out His Holy Spirit upon us. McConnell was preaching on Sunday night, and he was talking last Sunday night about how God is not the God of the trickle. He's the God of the pouring out. He was speaking about Acts 2. And, you know, we want to come and we want to pray, God, would you pour out at this time when we need? Just so aware of our need. We're always in need, but God, we're so aware, pour out. That you would fill us where we feel drained and empty. May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in him. And what I want to do is I want to do two things. I'm going to pray for us, verse 5 and 6. And then I've got up here on the screen, verse 13. But it's so that we know it's plural. It's got a we and a us in it. And I would love us, if you feel able, to pray this together, all of us. You might even, if you know the person next to you, you might even want to put a hand on the shoulder, or, you know, just put your hands out as it were, praying over. I'm going to be praying over us there. So I'm going to first pray verse 5 and 6 for us, and then we're going to pray this together, and then we're going to worship, and we're going to press into the Lord and to his presence. So should we just stand? Holy Spirit, you are here. Jesus, we look to you. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had. So that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then let's pray this prayer together. May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.